In his name, we start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In the program, The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding figures in different fields of studies, the Persian and Western ones around the world, with the presence of Dr. Fakh Rohani. Dr. Fakh Rohani is specialized in the field of Ahlebel literature and Ashura literature in English language and is currently a faculty member of University of Qom. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakh Rohani, for accepting our invitation to the studio of the Call of Islam Radio again.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakh Rohani, regarding the life and works of the outstanding dignitaries in the different fields of studies, specifically the religious ones, this session we would like to focus on the life and works of Sayyid Ebn Tawus. Before getting to his work and his specialties and different books and compilations of this outstanding figure, I would like to give a brief summary of his family background and genealogy, and after that we'll get to other parts of his life, okay?
Sure.
Thank you very much. I would like to say that Ali ibn Musa ibn Ja'far ibn Tawus, mainly known under the title as Raziuddin and under the kunya as Abul Qasim, in fact was born on Thursday, 5th of Muharram, 579 Hijra at Hilla, and passed away on Sunday, 664 Hijra at Hilla again. In fact, Raziuddin was specialized in the matter of fiqh, and his works can be found in the compendium of all the supplications. It is really nice to know that he has written about 70 books and a small booklet about salat, prayers, and problems connected with it. His erudition was of such eminence that the other scholars had given fatwas on the basis of his utterance, but he himself never once came up with a fatwa. Dr. Fakh Rohani,
yes.
This was somehow a brief summary about the family background of, we can say, Sayyid Ebn Tawus, mainly known, in fact, under the title as Raziuddin. You know, Raziuddin or Sayyid Ebn Tawus was born in the region of Hilla. Hilla was... in fact, we can say a region which somehow we can say nurtured outstanding figures in the field of Shiite studies, and especially this region was really concerned with nurturing those people in different fields of especially the fiqh one and the jurisprudence and something like that. But let's have a little more about the life and the details of the life and the background of the life of Sayyid Ebn Tawus, and after that we get to his specialties and compilations.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you remarked, the region of Hilla, which is very close to Karbala in the southern part of Iraq, the region of Hilla has been inhabited by Shiites. And quite a lot of renowned Shiite figures have come out from that region. So I should like to mention that, belonging to a Shiite family, and especially a cleric family, was a great trait of the late Ibn Tawus,
that's right.
Raziuddin Ibn Tawus. I should like to say that Raziuddin Ibn Tawus, as you mentioned, he was a very important and leading figure in the realm of fiqh studies, Sharia, in the realm of legal studies on the basis of Islamic rules and Islamic verdicts. However, he was very careful not to issue even a single fatwa. That was because he believed that if one of his fatwa might gone wrong, in this way, he would be punished in the world hereafter for this wrongdoing. So he was very cautious not to issue even a single fatwa. And this is a good indication of the late Ibn Tawus's academic as well as practical piety. Both scholarly and practical piety. There was a poem, I mean, in praise of the late Ibn Tawus, in Arabic, which reads in this way, هذا علي بن موسى بن جعفر شبيه علي بن موسى بن جعفر. I mean, since his name was Ali, his father's name was Musa, and his grandfather's name was Jafar, in this way, the poet, I mean, resembles him to the eighth infallible Imam, Imam Ali ibn Musa ibn Ja'far.
Which of course covers the names of the three Imams,
yes,
too. That's right.
Yes, yes. He was also such a person that had the honor of meeting the 12th Imam a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And he was also a person whose prayers, were responded positively, because he was, it was believed that he was aware of the great divine name.
That's right.
Bismillah al-A'zam, the divine great name.
What is the story? Out of 1,000 of the names of the God, one of them is Azza?
Yes, one of them. It's believed that one of the names out of 1,000 names and designations of God is the great divine name. But its effect is such that if a person already knows which name of the deities of God's designation is the great divine name, if a person, knows this, then such a person will become so pious, reliable in terms of religious standards, that whatever he prays for, the same would happen to him or to the person concerned.
Okay.
The late Ibn Tawus was such a person. He had the honor of meeting Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, who was and still is in the state of occultation. He was such a person. Quite often, some fatwas, some religious verdicts which he ascribes to other ulama, he might have taken them from Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam without mentioning the name of the Imam.
That's right.
He was a very outstanding figure in the realm of academic activities, such that he wrote about 70 books and monographs.
That's right. Dr. Fakhrani, what about his family background? We have heard all that Ibn Tawus was somehow, we can say, brought up in a nice family, in a very knowledgeable family, and most of the people, of course, on that time, such figures that we have discussed up to now in the program, the immortals, were brought up and grown up in the noble families. What about the family?
Yes. To give a brief background, family background of the late Rizqeddin Ali ibn Musa ibn Ja'far, known as Ibn Tawus, I should like to say that his ancestors go back to Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, as well as to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He was so honorable, he was so blessed that his ancestors go to can be traced back to Hassan al-Mufanna. Hassan al-Mufanna was a nephew of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, as well as a son of Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Husayn's elder brother. On the day of Ashura, Hassan al-Mufanna was injured, but the enemies thought that he might be dead. He might be martyred. However, a lady known as Asma bint Kharij, because of her relationship, her family relationship with Hassan al-Mufanna, took Hassan al-Mufanna, who was badly injured, was severely injured, to Kufa and started, nursing him, as well as giving him medical treatment.
That's right.
I should like to mention that Imam al-Husayn al-Salam, very long before the Karbala massacre, married one of his daughters, known as Fatima bint al-Husayn, to Hassan al-Mufanna. And the reason that he was named Hassan al-Mufanna, the second Hassan, was because he was a beloved son of Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtawa alayhi salam, and Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtawa alayhi salam, out of his attention, his special attention to him, named his son after himself. Okay?
That's right.
So he was very dear both to Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtawa as well as to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And since Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had special attention toward one of his daughters known as Fatima bint al-Hussein, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam married one of his daughters known as Fatima to Hassan al-Mufanna.
That's right.
This, honorable family, both going back to two infallible imams, out of this family and in this line of, in this line of descendants, the Ibn Tawus family grow up, and an outstanding figure in the Ibn Tawus's, family and progeny was the person with which we are concerned, the late Sayyid Razviuddin Ali ibn Musa ibn Ja'far ibn Tawus.
That's right. Also, Dr. Farhwani, it is documented that the mother of Razviuddin Tawus was herself a learned lady. It is mentioned that she was the granddaughter of the great scholar Sheikh Tusi. In fact, yes. The mother of, Sayyid Ibn Tawus. And Sheikh Tusi had personally given a certificate to his granddaughter, Sayyid Razuddin's mother, to do ijtihad.
Yes.
In fact, that the mother of Sayyid Ibn Tawus was allowed to do ijtihad, and she was also the great daughter of the great scholar Sheikh Waddan. You know, Sheikh Waddan was a person who wrote a letter to Imam Zaman, and after that, tell Imam Zaman about his life condition and situation. Dr. Farhwani, as you said, Sayyid Razuddin had some, links and relations to Imam Zaman. And Imam, it is even documented that Imam Zaman called Sayyid Razuddin as his own son in one part. Why is it so?
Well, he was very pious. He was pious not to make even a single mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often, he had the honor of, he had the exceptional honor of meeting Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam in person.
Right.
Okay? An anecdote informs us that once he was in a mosque, and the mosque where, quite very pious people were expected to come. And when Ibn Tawus and one of his friends were offering prayers and salat over there, they noticed that a very honorable person entered the mosque. And then they went to him to greet him and to talk with him. And they thought of that. Ibn Tawus and his friend thought that this very honorable person might be the Prophet Khizr, who's believed to be still alive. And when they approached him, this gentleman, and inquired him whether he might be the Prophet Khizr, he said, "No, I am the person whom the Prophet Khizr aspires to meet me." And then Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam inquired them whether they are aware of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. This happened when Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam was in a state of occultation. But the minute that they learned that they were already talking with Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, they attempted to kiss Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam's feet. And at this time, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam vanished. They could no longer see him. He was a very exceptional figure. But I should like to talk, just a little bit, and after a short while, about some of the most outstanding books of Sayyid ibn Tawus.
That's right. About the books and the specialties of Sayyid ibn Tawus, which are in fact various in various fields of studies, Let's elaborate them after taking a break, okay? Okay, dear Muslims, taking a break, listening to a religious song. I'm back in a minute.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Welcome back, dear Muslims from around the world. The rest of the program, The Immortals, which in this session is mainly concerned with the life and work of Sayyid Ebb Tavus, is coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station. Okay, Dr. Fakhwani, after being familiar with Sayyid Ebb Tavus, his family background, his lineage, and somehow the environment he was living in, and also his relation to Imam Zaman, now I'd like to get to the works, and in fact, the compilations, the works, and the life. You can say the specialties of Sayyid Ebb Tavus. What fields of study Sayyid Ebb Tavus was exactly specialized in, and what works did he compile?
Yes. In fact, Sayyid Ebb Tavus was a scholar in almost all branches of Islamic knowledge, especially fiqh and hadith and history. He was very much outstanding in the realm of, supplementary rituals, in offering supplementary or complementary rituals.
That's
and
right.
Religious practices. However, I should like to say that two books of the late Sayyid Ibn Tawus are very noticeable. Misbah al-Za'ir, the torch of the pilgrim, and another one, Kitab al-Iqbal, the book of approaching. In both of these books, the late Sayyid Ibn Tawus offers some moral lessons concerning how and in what manner it would be best to approach the sanctuaries and shrines of the sacred people and the religious personalities. In fact, Misbah al-Za'ir is a very important book in the sense that most of those Shiite scholars who later on compiled the books of prayers and complementary worships, they refer to Misbah al-Za'ir or to Kitab al-Iqbal. Okay. However, I should like to say that these books, although they are imbued with different ziyarat texts, special texts to be recited in sacred places, at the same time, Ibn Tawus never misses any single opportunity to give some moral advice to the would-be pilgrims or to the public who come to consult his book, to have an opportunity to read his book. I think perhaps the fame of Ibn Tawus as a historian, as a very erudite historian, rests on one of his books, which is entitled Al-Malhuf, and later on it was changed into Al-Luhuf.
That's right, Dr. Fakhwani. Okay. Before getting to Kitab Al-Luhuf, which is very famous, and in fact, you know, the outstanding, the most outstanding book of Ibn Tawus. I would like to ask you, are those previous books you said translated into English?
Yes.
Or in the English language world, do we have any compilation on Ibn Tawus?
Something yes, like? Yes. So far as I know, there's a book written by a European scholar, Ethan Kohlberg. And the book was basically his PhD dissertation at the mm-hmm. University of Oxford in the UK. The book is entitled as such, A Medieval Scholar and Work, Ibn Tawus and His Library. In this book you find that the author approaches, Ibn Tawus in person, mm-hmm. and goes directly to Ibn Tawus's private library and selects Ibn Tawus's books one by one, and he gives you, the author gives you almost a full and critical description of Ibn Tawus's books. And at the end of the book, at the end of the library, at the end of the book, you are provided with a good and detailed bibliography of all the major sources of, research sources concerned with Ibn Tawus. However, I should like to mention that personally, I'm not aware of any English translation of Misbah al-Zahir or Kitab al-Iqbal, although these two books are quite important because the author was such an erudite figure as Ibn Tawus. However, concerning Luhuf, I have some other remarks to make. Yes.
That's right. But the point you said is that the interesting point is that somebody, a foreigner, compiled a book on Ibn Tawus and his library, and this is so interesting, you know. And as a PhD dissertation,
yes,
that's right. It's very nice. You know, the Dr. Fakhwani, the outstanding book of Ibn Tawus is Luhuf, or as Malhuf, as you said, Al Malhuf. That's right. What about this book? What this book is exactly?
Yes, translating to English as The Size of Sorrow. Al-Malhuf or Al-Luhuf is a concise depiction and description of the tragedy of Ashura.
Okay.
It starts with the birth of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and moves onward and pursues the events episode by episode and day by day and personality by personality until it reaches the martyrdom of Imam al-Husayn al-Islam, and it goes beyond. It describes, it gives you a reliable account of what happened in Karbala and what happened to the survivors of the Ashura massacre in Karbala. Well, I've been able to teach this book in English translation a couple of semesters at the university.
Who is the translator?
The translator is an Indian scholar, and I think he translated it into English on the basis of a Persian translation of the book.
That's right.
To tell you the truth, personally, I've noticed several editions of Ibn Tawus's Al-Malhuf or Al-Luhuf, both in Arabic and in English.
What does it
mean? And in Persian, yes. But its English translation, so far as I know, is only one.
What about the title? What does the title want to say, Al-Luhuf? What does it mean?
Al-Luhuf is the plural form of Lahf. Lahf means sorrow, a sigh of sorrow. Uh-huh. So it was translated, the title was translated into English as The Sighs of Sorrow. A sorrowful sigh. Okay, it's some sort of lamentation.
That's right.
Okay, expression of grief. Okay, right. Deep sorrow.
And only it gets to the life of Imam Hussein, nothing before and after the martyrdom?
No. The book starts with the birth of Imam al-Hussein al-Islam. Okay. And of course, sometimes there are some digressions in order to provide the reader with some historical background. Mm-hmm. But overall, all in all, generally speaking, Al-Luhuf is still regarded as one of the authoritative accounts of the life and times of Imam al-Husayn al-Islam, as well as the Ashura massacre.
You know, I've heard that the Lahuf text also gets to the post phases of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein.
That's
what
right.
About the, what about that? Does it mean that it gets to the other the life of the other infallible imams or not?
No. Actually, the timeline or the mainstream of the discussion in the book is concerned with the Ashura massacre. Mm-hmm. So, whatever is depicted in this book, I mean, in Al-Malhuf or in Al-Lahuf, has a direct relationship with the Ashura massacre. Okay. And it starts, I mean, the book starts with the life of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And of course, from time to time, it has some flashbacks. I mean, to the, for example, Prophet Muhammad's expression, okay, or for some Imam Ali's depiction and so on. However, the mainstream of the book, or the main trajectory of the book, is concerned with Ashura massacre.
That's right.
However, since the Ashura massacre, wasn't stopped just immediately after the day of Ashura, because the Ashura survivors were taken as captives of war.
Yeah.
To Damascus. So, Ibn Tawus pursues, the whole incidents, from Medina to Mecca, from Mecca to Kufa, and then, although Imam al-Hussein al-Salam never reached Kufa, instead of Kufa, Imam al-Hussein al-Salam went to Karbala, but after the tragic martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein al-Salam, the Ashura survivors were taken first to Kufa and then to Damascus, and finally they were returned to Medina. Ibn Tawus covers all these phases.
Isn't
stages.
There anything about the taking of the caravan? Then after that, some criticisms are about this book of Ibn Tawus that he mentions, because he wrote this book at the very young age. It is not so. Yeah?
No, it isn't so. No, let me tell you that although, well, personally I'm aware that some authorities, some ulama, have some objections regarding Al-Malhuf, but you can't put aside a magnum opus of a personality on the basis of just some trivial mistakes which could be detected in his work.
That's right.
However, despite some historical mistakes, the book, has still its own audience and is still regarded as an authority on the life and times of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Thank you very much, Dr. Fahd Khouhani, for your nice explanation. And I would like to say that Sayyid Ibn Tawus or Sayyid Badiuddin Abul Ghassim Ali Musa ibn Jafar Ibn Tawus passed away on Sunday 664 Hijra at Hilla, and God bless his pure. So, thank you very much, Dr. Fahd Khouhani.
Welcome.
Dear Muslims from around the world, this is the end to another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Kalabistan radio station. The program The Immortals is mainly concerned with the life and works of outstanding Persian and Muslim figures in different fields of studies around the world. We are happy to hear from you through your emails at coi@sinarabi.ir or referring to our website at www.coiradio.com. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.
You are very special, there's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.